The other thing is, without action, there is no belief. Like, you actually have to do something. You have to get yourself moving. You have to be, and it's okay to fail. I think part of belief is knowing it is okay to fail. I heard it put really well last night on a call. There's a cycle of success. And the first thing is setting your goal. And again, you may not be totally clear on your goal, but if you're thinking about what generally do I want to accomplish, they set the goal and then take action. And then the next piece of the cycle is failing. And then the third thing is recommitting or getting discouraged. And then you take less action and then you're sure to fail. And that hurts your belief. So it's really a matter of like, commit to something, set your goal, commit to it, take action. And if you don't get what you want, or if it doesn't look the way you want it to, or it didn't turn out the way, if it's something you really want, you got to recommit to it.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my friend, Diana Rader Zisselman. And just really looking forward to having her today. You're going to see why once she starts speaking and sharing her experience when it comes to business and success and life success. I just want to introduce her, though, because she's such a special person. She's an entrepreneur, business leader, and mentor. She has a background and expertise in healthcare and psychology. She's been invited to speak in 18 different countries. Like, how amazing is that? From Tokyo to Prague to Sydney. She's lived and built businesses all around the globe. Budapest, various parts of Asia, Chile, Peru, to name a few. She has her master's degree in psychology. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's been the regional vice president of a national healthcare company, overseeing 900 employees. She's been the VP of business operation in a leading tech firm. She's a part of New Skin Enterprises, where her and her husband are at the top of the company and the top of the compensation plan. And so she just has a wealth of experience. I'm excited to talk to her. And what I know about Diana is, my experience anyways, is that she just loves people. She loves relationships. She loves her husband and her friendships and her family and her two little dogs, which we're both dog people, so we get it. And just excited to talk to her today. And today we're going to talk about Diana, and maybe I'll just bring you on and I'll open it up with, you know, saying hello in this question. And if you can introduce yourself yet, I just want to talk about, I just went over everything that you've accomplished and done, and I'm sure I didn't even scrape the surface on all of it, yet you've had a lot of success in different areas of your life, in different businesses, in different industries. And so let's open it up by talking about, what do you think attributes to that? And maybe we'll start with just what comes to mind first for you.
Yeah, thank you for that introduction. I'm not sure I could add anything to it. It's almost embarrassing. And it's funny, awesome. Because I remember interviewing for a job once, and I get that my resume is all over the place. And the CEO of the company said, I love that. He said, I would rather have someone who's done a lot of things than someone who's had the same job over and over for 2 years and gone on to have another job that was the same thing. But I think the reason that I succeeded at the things I have done is because I knew what I wanted, fully committed to what I wanted. And I'll tell you, that's probably the hardest thing, because it's not like I went to college and wanted to be a doctor and just followed that path, because I didn't have that. I decided I wanted to go to UCLA, and that's all I was going to focus on. I didn't think about going anywhere else. I made decisions based on, will I get into UCLA if I do that? And I think I didn't have the big grand plan. But one step by step, I have like, oh, I know I want to do this. I know I want to do this. I think that's one of the things in success is, if you don't know exactly what you want, if you do know, great. Make that decision and go for it. And don't keep your blinders on and really focus on it. But if you don't quite know, I think the best thing to do is think about the legacy you want to leave. Mm-hmm. What at the end of the day do you want people to say about you? How do you want your children, your friends, what do you want to be said at your funeral? Like, how do you want people to think of you? And I think for me, that was a thing that really helped, is knowing. And my husband and I had a mentor once who said, you really always need to start with the end in mind. And he really meant it with legacy. And he talked about certain athletes, like, hate to say it, but who comes to mind? O.J. Simpson, Roger Pistorius, Lance Armstrong. They were dedicated to being the best athlete, but they weren't thinking about what kind of legacy they want to leave. They might have made different, especially Lance Armstrong, who, what decision did he didn't leave, I don't think, the legacy he meant to leave. And so I think really understanding that at the beginning and keeping that vision of how I want to be talked about, what I want people to think of me.
I love that. I love that. Those are great examples you actually gave of those athletes, right? Because they did get to the top of their game, yet they might not have had their eye on the prize of what's the legacy they want. And you're speaking of legacy, I almost feel like it could be used as vision almost, where it's like that lighthouse that is keeping you on track. And sometimes we know if you're in the water moving towards a lighthouse and you tweak the boat just a little bit, you're going to go way off track, right? And so you tweak it back just a little bit, you're going to get towards your destination and find the lighthouse. And so maybe you can just share a little bit when it comes to legacy, what are some of the qualities or character traits that you want to focus on? So if somebody is a little bit lost and they're wanting to know what they want to do to achieve success and they don't have that crystal clarity, how can they start to piece together a legacy for themselves?
That's a great question. And it's funny because I think most of us don't start with what kind of legacy do I want to leave when you're 22 or whatever. That's not what you're thinking, even at 32 sometimes. And it's funny, I think about the thing that kept me on track was anytime I ran into someone who knew my mother, she was a professor and a department chair. She's 92. She's still active. And she says she's still working because she's part of a 90 and over study. But every time I met someone, they said, your mom is incredible. I don't know how she has time for a family because she's so committed to work. And I was like, how does she have time for work? She's so committed to family. So for me, that lighthouse was always, what do I want my kids to hear about me? My imaginary kids that we eventually never had. But it always kept me like, oh, I want them to know I have integrity and to know that I do what I say. And so I think things like, what kind of parent do you want to be? What kind of spouse? What kind of marriage do you want to have? When my husband and I got married, we were only marriages for both of us. We were in our mid-40s. And the guy who married us, Stephen Morrison, said, before we got married, he said, I want you to tell me why you're getting married. We're like, we'll love each other. And he's like, no, but what do you want to create? And we were like, I never thought of it. I'd never thought of, what do you want to create in your marriage? And we're like, wow, we want to create a living space. We want to create a place where we push each other to grow or pull each other to grow. And so I think those kinds of questions, what kind of partner do you want to be? What kind of business person do you want to be? What kind of business do you want to have? What are the goals and values of your business? So I think really asking yourself too, what are your top values? And I have a very simple, I see clients as a therapist and I have a really simple values assessment that I do. It's just a few cards and it gives you five values and it helps you. My top value is freedom. So when I feel like I'm loafing or not, I'm like, you know what? Freedom is one of my top values. It's okay. And when I'm working hard, I'm like, look, I'm getting towards freedom. So as long as you're always keeping what your top values are in mind, I think it really helps you stay on the right path and go the right direction.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And okay, what I'm hearing you say is, that is a big question, just to say, hey, what's your legacy? It's wow. Yeah. Start asking yourself that question though, right? Like, I have to be honest, I have done a lot of personal development and a lot of business development. I don't think I've asked myself that specific question. What is the legacy I want to live, right? Not just leave behind, that we want to live now. And so I think that's such a great starting point. And then you can start to get more specific by asking yourself more specific questions and then really having some values that are pillars that once again, just keep you on track, right? As you're going throughout your success journey.
And I know you and I talked before about, you're leaving your legacy right now. Everything you do, you're creating your legacy. So be conscious of what it is, because if you're unconscious and you're just doing things, that's part of your legacy. Be conscious, be intentional about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't wait. I think if we're talking about what attributed to your success, like by the sounds of it, with a lot of these things that you've done, like, you took the steps. You weren't waiting for it to come to you.
True. I mean, it's funny though, because I'll tell you, there were times in my life where I felt like I was just floating. Okay, I'll do that now. But I always knew what kind of person I wanted to be. And I always knew, like, I was someone who always wanted to be contributing to others. And so that was a big, some of the things that floated my way that I took. It was like, okay, how am I, is this going to be something where I'm contributing to the lives of others or improving the lives of others? And is it something where I'm going to grow? One of my big values is growth. And so if I'm doing something where I'm stagnant, I know I'm doing the wrong thing. So again, clarifying your values is super important. And that, of course, is part of your legacy.
Yeah, no, I love it. Okay, so legacy, clarifying our values so we can get clear what we want. So let's talk about, I want to bring this to belief, right? Because we can have clarity around what it is that we desire. We can know what legacy we want to live. We can understand our values. Yet I feel if we don't have rock solid belief in what we desire and ourself, there's going to be a big gap there into what we can then create and accomplish. And so maybe talk to us about belief.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of this stuff comes to me unconsciously. And I think I recently had a speech I was giving and I programmed my subconscious mind the night before. You were helping me with this speech because I had zero ideas. And I went through this whole dream and I keep a record of my dreams every morning. I will write down everything I remember. And one of the key things was belief. Like, you have to believe in yourself. And trust me, I struggled with that as much as anyone. And the ways that I think are the best ways to come to belief in yourself is, one, look for successes you've had in the past. You know, maybe it's you got good grades. Maybe it's you were fun. Maybe it's you were the friend people went to. Like, where did you succeed? Are you super clean? Are you super, like, don't look for professional success if you haven't had it yet. Or if it wasn't academic success for you, what are you really good at? What have you succeeded at? Are you a great friend? Are you the person people call when they need something? What is it that you've been successful at? And think about that and give yourself credit for the successes. The other thing is, without action, there is no belief. Like, you actually have to do something. You have to get yourself moving. You have to be, and it's okay to fail. I think part of belief is knowing it is okay to fail. I heard it put really well last night on a call. There's a cycle of success. And the first thing is setting your goal. And again, you may not be totally clear on your goal, but if you're thinking about what generally do I want to accomplish, they set the goal and then take action. And then the next piece of the cycle is failing. And then the third thing is recommitting or getting discouraged. And then you take less action and then you're sure to fail. And that hurts your belief. So it's really a matter of, like, commit to something, set your goal, commit to it, take action. And if you don't get what you want, or if it doesn't look the way you want it to, or it didn't turn out the way, if it's something you really want, you got to recommit to it. But it's super easy for people to just stop taking action. The other big thing about belief is keeping your word to yourself. Like, I think that's the hardest thing. Most people always tell people, like, of course, if you're meeting someone else at the gym, you'll be there at 5 a.m. But if it's just you, a lot of times we don't do it. It's like, that hurts your confidence. Over time, breaking promises to yourself, breaking promises to other people, that really hurts your confidence. So if you can't make a big promise, make little ones. Just, I'm going to do 5 minutes of this today. And give yourself credit for the 5 minutes. Okay, you did the 5 minutes. Don't say, oh, that's not enough. I should have done an hour. Just, great. If that's all you can start with, do 5 minutes. And then let that build on itself to help you build the belief in yourself and help you build some confidence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're sharing so much great stuff. As you're speaking, I was thinking, I just joined this elite coaching program with Dan Martell. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's an awesome entrepreneur. And he was talking, like, so as you're speaking, just to share it in a different way, he was talking about standards and that we rise and fall to the standards that we set for ourselves. And similar to keeping our word or being in action or being in this cycle of success, if we don't have standards for ourselves, we don't have a reputation to live up to. And if we don't have non-negotiables with ourselves, it's hard to develop that belief within ourselves because we're not working at improving, growing, stepping into a better version. And then it's easy to have the habits that don't serve us. And so to build belief, like, a big part that he was talking about, and I loved it, was like, what are your standards for yourself and for what you allow into your life as well?
It's so funny. I was just telling someone the other day that people don't treat you the way you deserve to be treated. They treat you the way you allow them to treat you. And with yourself, if you're allowing yourself, you love the giving yourself a reputation to live up to. Like, decide what that reputation is. That's what I did when I was young. And I was like, I'll have the reputation my mom has. So that everyone around me goes, wow, she works really hard and she's really committed and she does well at everything she does. And that was important to me. So I think deciding? And if you don't have your own standards, like, who do you admire and what are their standards? And what do you think they would put up with themselves and other people? And again, I don't think you have to start huge. If you are someone who's already accomplishing great things and already has a lot of confidence and already believe in yourself, set super high standards.
Yeah.
But if you're starting out and you're not confident and you're not quite sure, then give yourself high standards, but smaller, so that, okay, I can be on time to a meeting. That was something I had to work on. Being on time to a meeting, like, now people know, like, I'm on time. Like, there's something strange happening if I'm not on time. And so those little things make a big difference. And again, that goes back to giving yourself credit for the thing that you are successful at. And yeah. If you was never on time and now you are, Diana.
Yeah. Probably helps that you have Jeff as a hubby.
It's mandatory. It's a mandatory thing in our house. And because his goal is also to have a happy marriage. He's loosened up about, okay, if we're going to something social, yeah, it can be a 5-minute wiggle room thing. But yeah, we've met in the middle on that.
Yeah. Diana's husband was on the podcast as well, and that came up. So that's why I was giggling. But the cool thing with standards, when you hold them, is you actually, it's such a gift to other people in your life, because if they want to be around you, they then have to call forth what they need to raise that standard for themselves. So you're actually giving people a gift when you hold true to your standards.
It's such a good point. And a lot of people haven't seen standards. I look at one of my other values is integrity. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize integrity was fluid. I thought integrity was a black and white thing, and we all know what it is. And I found out that's not true. People have different variations and versions of integrity. And knowing for me, integrity is not lying. It is being on time. It is doing what you say always. It is being aligned heart, mind, soul, actions. Not everyone has that same version, and that's okay. But you get to decide, is that someone I want to be in my life? Am I going to allow myself to go down to their standard? Or, like you said, am I going to give them a standard to live up to and have them come up to my standard?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were talking too about belief, I think the more we invest in ourselves, and but if we're speaking to entrepreneurs, and you and I know about the investment space, a massive way to build belief is to just be willing to do the work and practice to improve and develop your skill and put in the reps. And when you do that, you get competent, which gives you the confidence, which builds your belief. And so going back to talking about building your belief, maybe just talking about, like, investment of self and having some skin in the game and, like, being willing to be on the field. Because if you're not even willing to do that, it's going to be so hard to just manifest belief without putting some skin in the game.
100%. I will give you an example. When I first started my new skin journey, I had spoken, taught class. I'd spoken in public before, but I'd never had the same kind of pressure where I knew that half the room was really counting on me to provide good information and the other half knew more than I did. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, how do I? And I got incredibly nervous. Like, I distinctly remember one time saying to a mentor of mine, we were about to go on stage and I was like, oh, I wish Jeff could just do this by himself because I hate this. And she looked at me and she said, Diana, they need to hear from you. And it was such a moment for all of us, somebody needs to hear from you. So I don't care if you have a muffin business. Somebody needs what you have, what you are bringing to it. And I was terrible at the beginning. Because I was shaking. I would literally, the blood would go from my head and I would be shaking and I would walk off stage and have no idea what I said. No clue. And I had a few years to have iterations of where it was me being cranky and upset with my husband and then focusing on what I was going to say. And then eventually I got to a place where I really enjoyed it because I do like growth. And so going from, but had I not committed to one, I'm going to get good at it. I'm going to do it. Even if I don't want to, I really didn't want to. There were times I was like, I don't want to do this. But I was like, no, but I do want to because I want to get better at it. And I had to put in the work and I had to know I was going to fail. Like, my first presentation where it was all me. Jeff was out of town, and I had someone call me from out of state and say, I'm sending someone to see your presentation. I think I read the slides from a PowerPoint. It was terrible. Couldn't have been any worse. And I could have given up then and been like, you know what, that is not. But I was like, no, I got to get good at this. And I guess, again, going, seeing other people, what are they doing? How are they doing it? Listening to podcasts, getting good at picking up pieces of, okay, I want to do that. But yeah, you can't ever begin to believe in yourself if you're not doing the action. Is the way. It's the only way to build your confidence. It's the only way to gain belief in start doing anything. Start doing something so that you can go, okay, at least I did it. The first time, I'm not a big cook. And my husband has a new diet. He's been on this cancer journey. So we have this new Tibetan diet. So we hired someone to cook for us. But you know what? I could have, if it was a value of mine to be a cook, I could have said, look, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to make some bad dishes and that's okay. And then I'm going to get better at it and better at it. This is something I chose not to focus my energy on. And that's okay too. But if I wanted to, I know the steps. I got to get in there and do it. And I got to fail. And I got to have some things just not be that good. And that's okay.
Yeah. So true. One of our mentors, Charlie, he always says, your first one's going to be your best one yet.
My best effort so far.
And then you have to be willing to go through the suck, meaning being not great at something to get good at something. So I love that. Sorry, as we're speaking about belief, I'm curious, because once you build belief, I think that you then have the validation that starts to come in that if I can do that, I can then start and go and do that. Yet my question for you is, when your belief gets shaken, I think everybody who's listening's probably had moments where it's like they had pretty strong belief or rock solid belief in what they were pursuing, and then it got shook for whatever reason. What would you say to those people? How do you then tap back into re-believing in yourself that you can do whatever it is that you desire when possibly something that you were so certain was going to come to fruition didn't, and your belief got rocked?
Yeah, it's funny because this was something that happened to me on a more personal level, because I am a tremendous friend and that for me is really important. I had a friendship blow up and it was heartbreaking and really caused a lot of, and one of the things that really centered me was Sandy Tillotson, who's the founder of Moosekin, said, always be aware there's a yin and a yang. So for every failure, there's equal success. And for every discouragement, there's equal encouragement. And for every detractor, there's an equal amount of people cheering you on. And I had to really stop and think about that and look at it. And I think when you've had a failure or a one, I prefer not to think of them as failures. I prefer to think of them as opportunities for growth. But really looking at, going back to, where have I succeeded in the past? Okay, I know I can succeed. And then, okay, this giant bowl of cherry pits is the basis for new cherry trees. I love the book, The Obstacle is the Way, because it's not in the way, it's not on the way. The obstacle is the thing that makes you stronger. And again, personal experience, I didn't know how great my marriage was until my husband was diagnosed with cancer. I really had no clue. I knew it was good. I knew we had things going on, but and this goes to one of the other things that I think helps in success in life, which to me is about happiness, gratitude. I would hate to say it, but I'm grateful that we've had the situation we've had. Him being on this cancer journey has made us slow down. It's made me grateful for him every single day. And I think being grateful for the obstacles and really sincerely embracing them. And my husband and I have done a lot of life is happening for me. Life is happening for me. Really saying that over and over. Life is happening for me. There's a lesson in it. There is something that you cannot succeed if you don't fail. It's because everything you do will have a point where there's a break or a fail or some obstacle comes up. And I think the bigger the success, the bigger the obstacle has to be to figure out if you really want it. Is it really something you want? And it's okay to find out, you know what? I don't want it that bad. I just don't want it that bad. And it's also okay to go, okay, that's horrible. It's the worst failure I could have imagined. There must be even better success on the other side. may not look like I thought it was going to look. But I firmly believe there is always balance in the universe. There is always balance in each one of us. There's always a yin and a yang. And so for every catastrophic opportunity, for every catastrophic failure, there is an opportunity. Like, I just know that about the universe, that everything is in balance. So I think, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's a good one.
No, that was brilliant. I love your answer. And what a great example. I was just, as you're speaking too, I'm thinking how great that you developed these success principles, if that's what we want to call them, or these success muscles in business, because you know what? We never know what's coming personally. And now you have them, so you can apply them when it really matters.
It's so true. And I did, you're right. I got these from business. And I know we want to start to wrap up, but I think this goes to the gratitude is one of the things that I think is really key to success. And again, for me, success is happiness. When I happen to like nice things, so financial success is part of success.
Yeah.
But I think being likable, like being a likable person is one of the, for me, one of the only ways to be successful. And when I look at what is, and that's people do business with people they like.
Yeah.
You know, I will buy art. You'll see behind me. I buy art from people I like. I buy food from people I like. Like, I'd rather go to a restaurant with great service and okay food than great food and marginal service. Like, I want to give money to people I like. You know, I like being on your podcast because I like you. So I think being likable is important. And when we look at what does it take to be likable? One is having empathy, you know, listening to each other. And because of my journey, like, I'm well aware, you don't know what someone else is going through. Like, I think one of my biggest challenges is when I'm on the phone with like tech support for some big company, big nameless company, and I'm already frustrated. And I just have to keep reminding myself, because kindness is one of my values, they're just trying to do their job. I don't know if they lost their dog. I don't know what's going on. If they cut me off on the freeway, maybe they're rushing to see their dog at the vet or their friend in the hospital. Like, I don't know. And so having empathy and really care enough to be present and listen to others, like, I think it's easy for all of us. And this is a skill that I had to relearn because I'm someone who likes things done quickly.
Yeah.
Really breathe and stop and go, okay, now I'm with you. Like, whatever's going on in my crazy life, like, I'm with Kelly right now. I'm with Kelly's audience. I need to be here now. And then that's the only way you can really be present and listen. And then, of course, being authentic. Like, I'm super vulnerable. And I think there's been so many times where the only thing I have to talk about is something I'm vulnerable. I just did something really stupid. I've got to share it with you because that's where it is. And then the last thing I think that likable people have is they're enthusiastic. If you're not enthusiastic about what you're doing as an entrepreneur, you are not in the right business. Like, you, and again, you can get knocked down, but you have to be looking at the bright. Life is happening for me. I know that. It's not happening to me. It's not, there's so many things. And when I think about, okay, how do you maintain enthusiasm when you've, as you said, like when you've taken a big hit or something didn't work out the way you wanted? One biggest thing, don't compare. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. I love the quote, don't let your ice cream melt while you're counting someone else's sprinkles. Enjoy your ice cream. Just don't compare yourself to, and I hear that from clients all the time, but this was faster and someone else did it better. Is like, don't compare negative people and negative, like, I avoid the news, social media. Like, I watch horses on social media and dogs. I try to avoid anything negative because that's the quickest way to lose your enthusiasm, is to be comparing to someone else or be focused on all the bad things going on in the world.
Oh my gosh, mic drops on everything that you're sharing. I love this. It's so true how just enthusiasm is contagious too. And I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and I'll give them that feedback sometimes when by accident or default or habit, they just complaining about their business all the time. And I'm like, why are you doing your business? Like, where's your enthusiasm for your business? If you're not enthusiastic about your product or service, the other people are not going to want to have or buy from what. So when you're talking about being likable, like I think you said it, people buy from people they like.
Yeah. You make such a good point. And it's funny. And again, it goes back to my marriage. Like, I remember when I was younger, us gals would get together and complain about boyfriends. And it was like, it felt so good to have someone else in the same boat. But like, it's so much better to be focused on the great things in your relationship and the great things in your business. And of course, it's okay to vent about your business or to say, here are my challenges.
Yeah.
But remember why you started that business and what you do like about it. And like you said, and if you don't, then go do a different business.
Yeah, do something. And it brings us back to what you said in the beginning. It's like knowing your legacy and why you're doing it. And so recapping, you've shared so much good stuff, Diana, like knowing what you want and start focusing on your legacy to gain clarity around that so you can start living it now. Really tapping into that belief in yourself. It's so crucial through being in action and starting to really focus on being likable by being authentic, by being relatable, by being enthusiastic, all these things that you've shared. And I think sometimes, you know, it's so interesting. The more and more I talk to extremely successful people like yourself who have accomplished these great things, if we just keep it simple, I feel like we overcomplicate it because I talk to so many entrepreneurs and everybody has such a wealth of information to say, but the underlying message is like that kiss, right? Keep it simple, stupid, right? Like just keep it simple.
And it's funny because I was like, I'm going to throw it on Kelly and ask her, like, you do talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of successful business people. What are the themes you hear over and over?
Yeah, I would say back to the basics is one of the biggest themes, right? Hmm. So like, in doubt, just go back to the basics. Definitely clarity on your vision and what you want and understanding your values so that there's alignment. Who you surround yourself with, that's a big theme. Who you surround yourself with in your environment is going to dictate your success big time. And then your character. So a lot of what you talked about around being likable and building your belief, but like having the character traits that are of integrity and attractive, I'd say those are some big things. And just doing it. Just doing it. Like just get started and put one foot in front of the other and be willing for it to be messy. And what you said, like just get started and practice makes improvement. And eventually you will develop the skills and to always be in growth mindset, like to always be wanting, because if we're not growing, we're decaying. So to always be in some space of growth. And then the last thing I'd say, which is what I just heard yesterday, but it comes up all the time, is that idea of standards, right? Have standards for ourselves.
Yeah, it's funny. Just last note on that. My husband and I were talking to someone the other day and everyone that they never get things done on time and everyone, their lawyer, everyone in their life functions in that same way. And it makes us both crazy. And it's, yeah, you do tend to surround who, if you're frustrated in your business, who are you pulling into your business and how are they reflecting you? Yeah. You know, and we were recently on a trip and we got to spend some time with some people that we knew through Nu Skin. And we're like, and of course they're great people. And we meet people through other friends and we're like, and of course they're a super great person because we met them through this other great person. And I think you're right. Standards, knowing what your standards are, even if you're not there yet, what are you willing to accept from other people and yourself? It's such a big lesson. And you'll start saying, oh, of course Kelly's got great friends because Kelly's a great person. Of course she's got great people on our podcast. She's a great person. Who are you attracting? And what do you need to shift if you're not attracting the people that you want reflecting you?
Yeah, so true. You know that I should think about that. I should put more thought into that though. What are the common themes? Because this is such a blessing and I appreciate you being here, Diana, because I get to learn from you. This is why I love my podcast, is because I get to learn from everybody who's on my podcast. And you're just such a special person. I have so much respect for you. You've helped me so much in my business life and personal life. And so I know that people are going to be listening and they're going to want some more Diana, speaking about surrounding yourself, right, with people that are going to lift you up. Where can people find you? If they are going to want to follow you or learn from you or be a part of what you're doing, how can they find you?
It's a great question. And I'm actually in the process of perhaps doing something additional. So right now I'm on Instagram, Diana Rader Zisselman. I think it's Diana RZ on Instagram and on Facebook. But stay tuned because through my husband's journey, we read a book called Radical Remission about people who, for all intents and purposes, should not still be here. And because of factors, they are. And this author, she's a PhD, and she studied 1,000 people that were like a miracle. The medical community wouldn't study because they're one-offs. And she found there are 9 things they have in common. And so I'm potentially going to be starting coaching with that program. So in addition to the other things I do, so in addition to having a few therapy clients and still always will have our new skin business and some other things, but I'm excited that probably by the end of the year, I will be doing workshop. Because there is a lot you can do to keep yourself healthy, even if you've been given a terminal diagnosis. So,
you are so made for that. And that is such a talk about living your legacy. How beautiful is that? I'm so excited for you to step into that role and have that energy around you and Jeff, and for Jeff to be the one of the examples, right? Like, brilliant. So awesome. I'm so, congratulations on that. That's awesome.
And now that I'm saying it out loud, I guess I have to do it. So
yeah, you said it here first. I don't know if you said it here first. Yeah, we're going to blast that out, right? Because what we speak into existence becomes true. Where we tell people becomes our reality. Oh my gosh.
Yes, you're the first to hear it. And so now I come out.
Oh, you're going to do it. Okay, perfect. I love it. I love it. I think that the other thing about success in entrepreneurship is there's always something else, right? That's around the road for us that's going to add fuel to our fire, because we change as we go through our journey. And that is so awesome. And okay, I have a few last questions just to wrap up. And speaking of success, we've had many chapters as we've discussed. What would you say is your definition of success today?
For sure, happiness. Just like happiness and truly being able to be grateful. And I think more so than ever, because I do see clients in therapy now. And I see so many people that are so unhappy, and they create more unhappiness, and they're focused on the unhappiness. And so I think just finding a place where you can be happy. And I think the only way to get that is through gratitude. Like, truly, when I've been unhappy, I started years ago a gratitude journal every morning, and I still do it every morning. And it's when I started, it was like, I can breathe. And now I'm like, I'll be right. And then I'm like, and all the things. Like, there's so much I can't even say at all. And even in my gratitude journal now, I actually have that I want to have happen. I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful, as if it's already happened. So to me, it's happiness and freedom. But again, that goes to values. Freedom is one of my values. So the freedom to be going where I want, doing what I want, traveling when I want, having the money to do those things, and having the ability to attract great people into my life, that for me is success.
Love it. Okay, what would you share with people, 3 tips to unleash their inner greatness?
Wow. It just go through fear. Like, go through the fear. That courage is not about the absence of fear. It's about having fear and doing it anyway. So it's okay to be terrified and do something. Letting go of how you think it's going to look, or how you think other people are going to perceive it. Honestly, at the end of the day, you're the only one that matters, because it's your life. It's truly your life. So it has to be something that makes you happy. It really has to be something that you personally, that resonates with you. And if you're not surrounded by people who are on that same page with you, then find new people. And now I forgot what the question actually was.
No worry. One more thing to unleash your inner greatness.
Positive self-talk. It's a practice. It's a practice. And you got to know who you want to be, like, and then start reminding yourself of who you are. Like, and I don't agree with mantras unless you believe them, because I think your mind starts to argue, like, oh, I'm the prettiest girl on earth. No, you're not. So I think it's being realistic at the beginning of, I'm in better shape today than I was 2 months ago. And finding the things that are believable and reminding yourself, yeah, that's believable. And forgiving yourself for the things that you feel like you wish were different. So I think it's positive self-talk is huge, though. And just like life, like I've said, Jeff and I have to often, life is happening for me, life is happening for me, life is happening for me. And then finding the silver lining and really focusing less on the cloud. There's always going to be both. So what are you looking for? Because you will find whatever you're looking for.
So true. Oh my gosh, I love it. Thank you so much. Okay, last question. We're going to give a call to action to the listeners based on the message today around best attributes and just all the wonderful things that you've shared with us. What would one thing be that you would guide them to do to hop off and implement into their life?
I would write down what you want it to look like at the end of the day. Like, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to look back on and go, wow, that was my life and it was filled with this. And this was my career and it was filled with this. And this was my business and it was filled with this. And these are my friendships and it was filled with this. What really do you want it to look like? And this is what I want people to say about me. This is, again, it doesn't matter what people think about you, but think about what, how you'd like them to see you, how your best version, what does that look like? Because I do think you got to start with that. You have to start with, what do I want it to look like at the end? And keep that in mind. And when it's not going the way you want, go back to what do you want it to look like? Because if you're behaving in the way that will make you proud, you'll start having wins.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Love it. Thank you so much for being here today and just sharing everything. And I'll just let the audience in on a little secret. This was our take two, because we did do a take one and have tech difficulty. Oh, I just believe that what we talked about today is absolutely meant to be what the audience heard. And I just really appreciate you and your time and your friendship and your mentorship and your example. Thank you. Thanks for being here. And I just want nothing but the best for you and Jeff. Class act.
Oh, we think the world of you, Kelly, and I'm grateful that you invited me and I'm happy we got to do this. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks so much, Diana, for being on the episode today and really speaking into the audience what it takes to be successful and has attributed to her success as she's had a long-standing career doing many different things, yet everything she chooses to do, she climbs to the top and she's extremely successful. So there's obviously some character traits, there's obviously mindset involved, and she knows what she's talking about when she says, here's some things that are going to serve you and support you to take a look at. And so I really hope you got value from the call today. You know, everything from around knowing what you want and what your legacy is, why it's so important to believe in yourself. And really, I like how she talked about be likable, right? And how to be likable and why that's so important. And thanks for being here, Diana. If you enjoyed this episode today, I wanted to share, you might want to go back and listen to episode 43 with my friend who is mindfulness speaker, Cheryl Sutherland. And she talks about designing and manifesting your dream life through journaling and affirmations. And I think that will support with the belief side of things, right? Building this, the most important person who needs to believe in you is you. And so through journaling and affirmation, she walks through the importance of that and the what, why, and how. And so I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode also. Just once again, appreciate you. Thanks for being a part of my community and chiming in and listening every single week. With love, greatness, and success, it's your host, Kelly Beveridge.